Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Joel Elston and Alex King. Today is Thursday, June the 27th, 2019. It is 8 a.m. in New York, 5 a.m. in Los Angeles, 1 p.m. in London, 10 p.m. in Sydney, Australia. And I haven't done the math properly yet, but I think that means it's also 9 p.m. in Tokyo. In case I have that wrong, forgive me, Tokyo. But wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And I think Alex and I are both in kind of the same state. We're both kind of wrung out, worn out, because we did a massive recording. No, not Alex is shaking her head. No.
No.
She's up for anything. But we did a massive recording session last night for The Grass Is Greener. It was the second one. Oh, actually, it was the third one. And, I mean, this is an experience. This is an education, Alex. You've been through this before, but I'm telling you, I'm learning stuff I didn't even know existed.
Not this way, though. We've never done it on the Zoom app. We've never had, you know, I've never done a podcast show. That's not this show.
Right.
Yeah. So it is a different experience.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I can see how it's like to put a movie together, because we're doing it in scenes and segments and things like that. And, you know, scene two, take five, you know, holy crap, this is crazy.
Yep.
Okay, Joel, can you imagine what it would be like if you had to do your coaching? Okay, this is scene 24, take six.
Yeah, me and my ADD would not do well with all of that.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, it's an education, and it's good. I mean, things are coming along nicely. We've had a lot of really good scenes that played out well, and we're learning every step of the way. But wow, what an education! It's like an intensive. You know, you just dive into something in a short period of time. You learn. That's what it's like.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. But it's good. It's all good. So, how you guys doing? How you doing, Joel? We haven't talked yet a couple weeks. We kind of missed you.
Well, I had to deal with some help a client with some legal stuff, and hopefully that's the last time I have to do that for a while. Mm-hmm. It went really well, but I'm glad to be back. We're in the middle of. It's all of a sudden. It's almost July 4th. It's amazing how quick this year's going, but. It had to do a double take on where we're at. It's like, wow, we are really flying this year.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, yeah. I had the same reaction the other day. Alex pointed out that we're now in summer, and I said, what happened to spring? I like spring.
I told him I canceled it, but it was canceled due to allergies. So I just said, no, I'm not subscribing to that, at least not for New England. I don't know about the rest of the world.
It's all good. So we don't really have a topic in mind to discuss unless you've got something that you've been thinking about, Joel. So I figured we could just kind of go back a little bit to the basics and just talk about how and when we attract stuff in. Like I saw, as usual, I always check Facebook to see if there's something there to give me a clue for a topic.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I saw today was somebody, once again, posting how the law of attraction never works for them. Uh-huh. And my reaction was always the same one that I always give out, which is, it's working beautifully. Look around the room. You manifested all of it. You're just manifesting stuff you don't want. You want to focus on what you want. So let's go back to basics a little bit. Let's talk about, you're getting what you don't want. How do you start getting what you want? And I'm going to go to the life coach because he talks about that all the time. So you got somebody in your chair for the first time, Joel, and he's saying, I can't attract this. I mean, I understand what you're saying about this law of attraction, but it doesn't work.
But and that's sort of like you're saying, it's the basic concept of what you, it's when I break it down into the sort of the descriptive, that the law of attraction, we go back to, I'm assuming that the law of attraction wants what's best for me, or I assume that the law of attraction actually responds to what I want, and literally it's the opposite of that. The law of attraction, first of all, doesn't care. It doesn't. It has no opinion. It has no value. It has no morals, in a sense. And I know that sounds horrible. The law of attraction is like gravity. Gravity, if somebody falls off of a building and he's a father of three young children, gravity doesn't stop and say, you know, I'm not going to pull this guy to the ground and die. Gravity. It is a law. It is something we must adhere to. And that person, regardless of how good they are, will fall and die because gravity has no opinion on that. So the law of attraction is the same concept of it can only respond. It can only dial into what you're feeling, not what you think you want, because when you want something too much, you're actually putting out an energy of I don't have that or I like that. So the real energy that the law of attraction picking up on is the lack. I have a perfect case. I have a young lady. She's probably about 35. She's in a middle management career with an insurance company, and she has been sort of into the law of attraction lightly. And she's been doing all of her mantras and all the things that she believes. And she once again said, she said, well, I really want to get past this. I'm working really hard at work. I'm putting in 70 hours a week and I'm not getting the returns. Now the rest of my life's going really well. But where I'm really focused, where I really want to do this, I can't seem to get the law of attraction to work. And I'm like, well, that's, you just, once again, you've answered your own question, because that idea that she's working really hard and indicates I got to put so much energy and effort into this, it's like I'm desperate. So the law of attraction picks up on desperate.
And boy, is it good at it. Mm-hmm. It will pick up on any emotion that you're really vibrating to, that you're really focused on, but desperation. What is it? Is it that we just are so used to being desperate in our feeling, or is it that the law of attraction is particularly prone to reach out for desperate?
Well, I don't think it, again, I don't think it cares. I think it picks up on the strongest emotion and desperation. If you look at what desperation, that anxiety-driven, desperate mindset, it is one of the most powerful mindsets there is. And it is, if I tune in a radio station, I'm in the Richmond, Virginia area. Let's say I turn in a radio station, that's in Washington, D.C. We're a little ways away from Washington, D.C., but I can occasionally, depending on the weather, pick up a radio station. But it's that the signal's faint. It's just in and out. It'll bounce around and you won't always get it if the weather conditions are right. Where if I tune in one of my local station I listen to, it's hardcore. It's right here. The energy is strong. So that's the concept. You could say, I want this really bad. And you do. But again, the law of attraction says, I'm getting that desperate energy. So clearly this person loves this desperated, this state of desperation. So let's just give them some more of that. And that's where it becomes counterintuitive. And it's not that any one emotion has a law of attraction favored. It's just, it is the strongest emotion. It is the one that, you feel the most, the one that you put out the highest frequency or the highest vibration over. And when you say, yes, I believe that I want to have $1 million, or I believe I want to have, when you don't believe that you really have a chance to do it, there's no chance to do it. It's no matter what you're thinking, when you have to feel it, that's why the idea of starting to live as if you have what you're seeking, to live as if, to treat it as if that, then you're living that energy. Then you do that. This lady is doing the exact opposite. Now, I'm not saying, and I'm all about hard work. I'm a very driven hard work person, but I view it from a different state. I will go accomplish my goals. I'll put the energy toward it, but I also do self care. I lift weights every day. I have a package of stuff that looks like I will add that to my whatever I'm seeking. And Walt and I have talked about this before. There are times when I really turn on that manifestation of what I want, and I have to actually dial it back. Like, okay, I'm getting too much of this. I'm getting, it got to a point where I want to get busier in my practice, and it was like, okay, nope, too much. Turn that back, or I want to have more opportunities or have different ideas. And I can actually get overwhelmed by how much just shows up and having to decide what I want to do. So I've really figured out that balance of what you need. And so that desperate state of, it's not working, I want it so bad. Again, you're having that other response because you're not feeling that, you're saying it, but you're not really feeling that you have it already. That's the energy that you're trying to come up with. And that's what makes it so hard.
It's funny too, because when you were talking about, the connecting to that signal, like the radio signal, it reminded me of, we touched on it before the show, and what we were experiencing yesterday when we were doing our recording, because one of the problems we ran into is sometimes our actors tend to try to sound like the other actors. And it reminds me, that's basically what we do very often, especially in early stages with law of attraction. We want to set our vibration to what we're experiencing. So we are interacting with that same thing that we don't want, but we keep interacting with it because we're so good at attuning ourselves to that thing that's going on. That's exactly what we ran into last night. Whereas actors, the goal that the actor is going after is to try to differentiate, to say, this is the character and I'm going to stay in this character. I'm not going to keep shifting over to what one of the actors is doing on the other side of the stage. I'm going to stay in my own character. That's the same mindset we have to adopt when we're trying to focus on what we prefer rather than what we don't prefer, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think? Is that what you experience?
Yes, I agree. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess in one sense we could say that acting is a way to prepare and practice being a good conscious creator.
Mm-hmm. Well, when some of the best actors I'm not really in tune with a lot of the stuff, but one of the things that I have read or I have witnessed is there are some actors that will immerse themselves in the role. They really become the person they're playing and they don't get out of character as long as the show or the movie they're filming is underway. Mm-hmm. And people could, especially I think of one of the interviews I saw with Heath Ledger after he played the role of the Joker. And I know he was passing, he passed away and all that, and it was very sad. His family talked about how weird he got and how he actually didn't get around many people, and because he literally became the Joker. And if you ever watch the movie, it's shocking how convincing he is in that role.
Mm-hmm. Scary at times.
He's really good at it.
Yeah, some of the actors they get into a role, and what was the movie? Oh, do you remember the movie The Blind Side? The story about the kid who became the football player, and he's taken in by the family in Tennessee. Sandra Bullock won an Academy Award playing his mother in that movie. And at one point on the set, the real character, the real person she was portraying, and she were both on the set at the same time, and her real husband said it was spooky because you'd see two of the same person, two Leanne, two Lees, walking down, and then they'd high-five each other. He said he couldn't handle it.
and you do that. I've always said that, like Tom Hanks, for example, whatever role he played, he becomes really convincing. You look at that and go, how could Tom Hanks play? I don't think of him as a really tough guy or anything, but yet if you played a tough guy, you're like, wow, that's Tom Hanks. And or Saving Private Ryan, any of these things, he always was able to go way out there. Michael Keaton is an actor that I used to see play different roles that always shocked me. There's so much. So when you understand sort of how we have that acting sort of concept, but acting is a way of becoming or learning how to feel. One of the things that I find is very helpful for people to surround yourself with people who have the life you want or living the type of life you want to live. And when you have that mindset, then it's easier to pick in to sort of tune in that exact frequency that they're living on. And it's easier to do it that way when you have somebody that's why I've talked about poverty being sort of a more of a mindset than an actual lack of money. It's just something that when you don't really believe there's something more than this, then there's really no way for the law of attraction to even fulfill that. Or if people get all of a sudden they win the lottery and they think this is, oh wow, this is great, everything. But most people lose all that money within 2 years because it's just, they weren't prepared for it. They weren't mentally prepared. It's not that they're, everybody said, well, they just assume that they're overindulged or whatever, but they are conditioned to a mindset of lack. And no matter how much money you have, if you're conditioned to a mindset of lack or a lack of health or whatever, you will always revert back to getting what you're feeling. And that's the idea that you, and that's where a lot of people listen to like The Secret. And again, I'm a big fan of The Secret, but I think they sort of missed the boat a little bit. Abraham Hicks gets more into the energy vibration stuff where it's more important what you're feeling than what you're thinking. Now, I know that thinking is the dialogue, the internal dialogue we have that will eventually change our mindset. But it isn't just saying, I want $1 million and that's going to happen. In fact, if you sit all day and go, I want $1 million, I want $1 million, I want $1 million, that energy is saying, oh, that guy has no money. He's enjoying, you know, he's living with that lack of, and it, there's never a chance to get it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That vibration is everything. So, I was remembering also, another aspect of that story, The Blind Side, with Leon Tui and Sandra Bullock playing that character. When Sandra was first offered the role, she read the script and she said, I can't play this role. And they said, why not? And she says, I don't know what this character is. I don't know. I can't create this character in my mind. If I can't create it in my mind, I can't portray it. So they had Sandra meet Leanne Tui and they had a conversation. And after the conversation says, oh, I get it. Now I know who it is I'm playing. And the way she described it was, Leanne Tui, in Sandra's words, was a force of nature.
Yes.
And you couldn't capture that.
Yep.
Remember that? Mm-hmm. And they couldn't capture that in the script. Yep. The script can't tell you that. So she had to learn that for herself. Once she got that, well, she won an Academy Award.
It.
Oh, God, she really did. She got it nailed. And that's what we're trying to learn with Law of Attraction. We're trying to learn what is that character that we are portraying. Who is that person we're trying to become? Who is that person that we're trying to feel ourselves to be? Because when we get there, then everything starts to happen.
Yeah, and that's the exact mindset that you're working on when you literally can feel as if. When financial, you know, so much of my early thought when I even got into the Law of Attraction was financial stuff. As I say, most people do that or relationships.
Oh, yeah.
And mine was, you know, and so the idea that it took me a long time to understand how to turn on that filter, to turn on how I feel that way, to have the abundance and really feel if I'm living in abundance. And once I really started to feel I was living in abundance and there was no lack, then it wasn't, and I'm to a point now where, you know, it used to be such a driving force. It's not even, you know, it's great. I'm not trying to minimize it, but at the same time, it doesn't. It's not the driving force of what makes me go every day. I love that feeling where I'm not living with the feeling of lack or the fear of not being able to provide, and it also applies. I'm very healthy. I'm on no medications. I feel wonderful. As I said earlier, I'm in the gym every day. So again, that energy that I'm putting off, it's not something that I'm sort of attuning into. So the Law of Attraction keeps responding with more of the same, more of the same.
More of the same.
On the other side of it. Yeah. So I've been on the other side of it too. So I know how it can go the other way.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough skill. I mean, that's why there are only a small number of top tier actors. That's why there are only a small number of top tier in any industry, because there is a small number who really get it. They really learn it. They really apply it. And it doesn't mean the rest of us can't, fortunately. I mean, that's why we have life coaches. But, right? But so at least it can be learned. That's the good news.
Right.
But it takes time. It takes practice. And I think you also use the other word. It takes patience, Joel. You have to be patient with yourself. Right, Alex? I mean, if you're not patient with yourself, forget it. You're dead.
Yeah, exactly. Because the universe brings you things in the universe's time, and not in your timeline. So you can't rush anything. So if you're not patient, you're going to go crazy.
No kidding.
and also on that, the impatient thought is, again, a desperate thought. It's,
right.
It's, when is this going to happen? It's like, oh, well, I was about to do it, but not now. It's like, nope, not going to do it now. And you know, because you're almost there, but you got it away from you. And it,
you almost
it's just it. Almost had it. Yeah, the guy with the dollar bill. But it's that mindset and that to me this is when you get to the LOA, the Law of Attraction concept, this is probably the hardest thing to get, and then to tell people how they feel, like, you know, when you people have had a victim mentality for so long. And it when I say that, I know people sometimes will view that as I'm not being judgmental. I lived in that mindset for a long, long time. It takes a while to break it. But when you're anticipating that next wrong thing or anticipate. It's really hard to feel any different when you have had experiences that are going to reinforce what you're fearing. I mean, it's really hard with that. And so that's the climbing out. That's why the law of attraction, while it is irrefutable, one of those refutable.
it's here, I believe.
okay. Yeah. Thank you. But it works just like gravity, but the problem is it is equally as rigid as gravity. And it isn't that it's finicky. It's just you've got to, you know, tune in the radio. Like, you know, if you get a really strong radio station, like say it's 101.2 or 102.1 as well as it. Okay, say you have that, 102.1. Well, you know, you might be able to get it to 102 or 102. Or 10, you know, you might get a little feedback when it's really strong, when you're a little bit off, but you're not, until you're exactly tuned in, you're not going to, especially with, you know, have high def radio or whatever that even means. But, you know, like some radio stations like won't have high def, but when I turn on and hit a radio station, it does, you can actually hear it just sort of get that a little louder, a little clearer as it sort of clicks into high def mode, as it sort of really tunes in. And it's that same way. And you can't turn it on 99.5 when you're really seeking, you know, 106.4. I mean, you have to understand, it isn't that I just want it to happen. It's I've got to find that emotional frequency of what that feels like. So if you take a lifetime of illness or a lifetime of stress or a lifetime of poverty, it is so hard to understand how that feels. So that's the problem. It's living as if you have $1 million. It's like, oh, well, that means I just go spend all the money I want. In fact, that's the opposite. Again, people I know that have $1 million don't go out and buy $400,000 cars. They don't need to do that. Bill Gates doesn't wear $300 pants. He wears Dockers. He could buy Levi Strauss if he wanted to. Anybody, he just wears their pants. I mean, you think about it. So there's a concept of, like, you'll see the Instagram people that are, you know, driving the $500,000 cars and all that. Well, the reality of that's all part of the show. But when you're trying to what is your understanding of what you're trying to attract, then everything sort of changes. And when you're comfortable with wealth, then wealth is like, it's just part of you. If you're comfortable with health, then health is part of you. If you're uncomfortable with it or fearful of it, then unfortunately, you're signaling the opposite effect.
And very often, that's a hard thing to differentiate. It sounds, I mean, when you describe it, it's like black and white. You know, well, you're either feeling comfortable or you're not feeling comfortable. It sounds so clear. But when we're in the midst of trying to deal with it, like, you describe the person who is focused on, well, I want to win $1 million. I want to win $1 million. I want to win $1 million. And they're not going to win it because they're in a position of lack. But from their perspective, do they feel like they're in a position of lack? Heck no. They think they're focused on winning $1 million. They think that the $1 million is going to become theirs because they keep saying that and they feel it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It gets confusing at times. I mean, our emotions are our guidance system. That's one of the great concepts that Abraham taught us. We also have to learn how to use it. We have to learn how to differentiate, recognize, I'm really feeling this right now, or I'm really feeling that right now. Because until we can do that, we're like the actors who were working last night. They were trying to sound like each other.
This reminds me of
go ahead, Alex.
I was going to say, this reminds me of a meme that I saw, and I didn't realize until right this second that it had a law of attraction point to it. So there's this kid and he's 18 years old and he's standing in this really beautiful kitchen setting, and on the caption says, you know, I'm 18 and I achieved this. You can too if you work really hard. And then on the underneath that, somebody puts, boy, if you don't get your dumb ass at a Home Depot and stop playing in their kitchen, because you can see in the background that the other aisles are back there. Posted up in Home Depot in a nice kitchen, and he's like, yeah, this is my life. But if you think about it, he might have been creating a vignette for himself, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't know what he's trying to do, and you're hating on him. So, but yeah, that's what you got to do for your version of manifesting things, that's what you got to do.
That, and on the other topic, and you, this is where you can get really confusing to people too.
Mm-hmm.
But when you also, part of the deal is understanding, when you don't understand wealth, you don't know, you think that a kitchen is wealth. And so that's part of the problem. When you understand, to me, what for me was, it quit being about me getting things. Getting
yes.
things doesn't do much for me. Mm-hmm. I have all the things in the world. It is when I was living with a lack of those things that the energy, that somehow a couch is not going to make me feel better.
Right.
I always tell people that, you know, I do have a Porsche, but I have a Porsche because I wanted a Porsche. I didn't get a Porsche to impress anyone or to appear to be wealthy. I drive a Porsche because I want to drive a Porsche. And there's a difference in why you do that, and how you feel that. And so this is the concept of, like, you know, if you were to go ask people, what is wealth? Well, I want a Bugatti.
Well, yeah.
Okay. I mean, that if that's your goal, that's great, but that is not wealth. I know people that, you know, like they have an image that they're trying to project, assuming that brings in wealth, but sitting in a car, but this is a good analogy. Years ago, I had no idea it was ever going to be a law of attraction thing, but my oldest son, TJ, I was looking at cars, and he was 12 and had no clue of what money was or anything.
Yeah.
And so he asked, he said, can we get a Lamborghini?
Okay.
And I jokingly, and of course he didn't understand sarcasm, so I it just didn't go well. But I was trying to make a point. I said, well, we technically could afford a Lamborghini, but we would have to live in it. and of course he goes, I'm fine with that. And I'm like, well, so he didn't quite get the message, but in his mind, that would have been the, you know, where my mind, I would know more, you know, I've had, you know, cars, like I have another vehicle besides Porsche. And one of the reasons is when you drive a nice car, there's certain places you can't park. I wouldn't want a Lamborghini. What do you do with the thing? I mean, it looks great, but you know, you don't want to leave it in a parking lot at a movie theater.
Nope.
You know,
unless you're bringing it to car shows once a year, like what's the point?
Yeah. What's the point? Well, yeah, I have my former employer in the company that I used to be director of, that was a treatment center here in the Richmond area. They have an amazing, a beautiful, beautiful facility. It's on 400 acres. It's an old plantation. It's just absolutely gorgeous, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at it. I'm like, wow, this is an absolute beautiful, beautiful home. And on 400 acres. And I also know that, you know, every month there's, you know, one time we had a storm come through and knocked down a bunch of trees. Well, we spent $27,000 on having trees removed. The pump house broke. The energy, what do you call that? The generator, it broke. So, and of course, it only can break when there's no electricity. So you have an emergency repair. You weren't anticipating the $17,000 it took to replace that.
Right.
So my point was, while this is a beautiful piece of property, if you were to give it to me and say, and me and the owner had this discussion, I said, if you were to give it to me, if you were to sign it over to me and say, and make the caveat that I can't sell it, but it's mine, I wouldn't want it. It doesn't represent wealth to me. It represents a headache. And you'll often see people say, I want this, but not understanding. Like if I want a Bugatti, well, you got to realize that you can't get it insured through normal means. You have to go to Lloyd's of London. You can't drive it anywhere. They're not practical. And while they're awesome vehicles, and if you're a car collector, it matters, but that's not a sign of wealth. Again, I'm sure that I know billionaires that have just nice Lexuses. You know what I mean? They don't need a Rolls Royce. I asked one of my friends who was a co-patent holder of a major drug, and he's worth about $1.5 billion. He has a, a couple-year-old Lexus. I said, why aren't you getting a new Lexus every year? And he goes, well, this only has 10,000 miles on it. I'm not going to – I don't need a new one. I have a chauffeur, and I have other stuff. That doesn't represent anything to me. He said,
right.
True wealth is not even wanting or desiring. When you can get to that understanding, when you can let go of desire, then but you also are aware you can have whatever you want if you wanted it. And, mm-hmm. and that relieves the need to do it. You know, it helps. I mean, that's where it gets into intricate part of the law of attraction, which I love because it's so amazing when you realize you can keep fine-tuning this as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really interesting point that you're hitting on there, the idea that you want to get to the point where you no longer desire, with the idea that desire means I lack it and I want it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And right. When you are physically in a place of lack, I mean, you just know, anybody who's dealt with that knows, you don't have access to certain things that you would really like to have access to simply because you don't have the financial means to do it, to buy it or rent it or whatever it is you want to do. When you don't have that, you feel it. It feels really, really strong. So it's no wonder that when people are trying to learn to become conscious creators, they start with, well, I'm going to focus on what it is I really want in life. I want to focus on what it is that I really desire, not realizing that what they're setting themselves up for is failure. So how do you get that shift? How do you make that shift? Somehow we have to take, like you said, we have to take our mindset away from I desire things toward I can have anything I want. That's a big shift. And you mentioned the idea of spending all the money. I mean, that's actually what Rhonda Byrne did. She was making The Secret. She was trying to make The Secret. She went and she couldn't get stuff done. Things weren't falling into place for her. So she went to her ATM machine, took all her money out of the account, and gave it all away. Something, by the way, we do not recommend here on the show. But that's what she tried to do because she was trying to shift that mindset.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And that's the when you can understand the mindset, how you feel when you're living without any lack whatsoever, like it's I don't need to run out and get stuff anymore. I don't need all. I have whatever I need. If I need new shirts, I order 10 new shirts or whatever I need to do. And it's just not a thing anymore. And I'm not trying to say that. If people hear that, say that's sort of you're sounding like you're that being arrogant. I'm not. I'm trying to give you the feeling of how I try to tune in. Mm-hmm. I have zero lack. There's nothing that I can't go obtain or get. There's anything I want. And people say, well, you can't go buy a $20 million home. If I wanted to bring that about, I could. Mm-hmm. I have no desire for a $20 million home. I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that in any way that would be negative. I just, why would you need that? You know, it's nothing that does for me. It doesn't place me in a position of feel, you know, when you turn off the light in my bedroom at night where it's totally dark, it looks the same as the bedroom of a $20 million home. I mean, it's, I have the same bed. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I have the same bed that I would have. I have a really nice bed because I want a nice, comfortable sleep. So I would have the same bed if I'm living in a $20 million house. So you get the point of when you can start feeling that way. Mm-hmm. Because it's always it's always that time that we have to really take a deep breath and say, look, here we are. What is my ultimate? Because it isn't really about wanting that. It's about more how do I want to feel, and that's the balancing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It is. So, now, there's also the flip side of that. Which is, and it's basically two sides of the same coin, which is that when you're trying to get to that spot, to that place of where you're not really desiring anything because you're not attached to the lack side. You're not attached to, oh God, I don't have this stuff. I can't afford that $20 million house. When you're trying to get there, the other thought that goes through your mind, and this is a fear-based thing, is, yeah, but aren't I just settling for what I have and I'm never going to get any better? Where's the differentiation? That's part of the equation we have to solve. When is it that I am focused on simply I am enjoying the fact that I have nothing that I really lack versus I am settling? Where's the difference?
I think you have to be happy in your own skin, in your own situation, and that's how you feel like you don't have lack. It's not to say that you don't have ideas and goals for the future, but you're not in a rush to see these goals. You know what I mean? They will come in their own time. They will come in their own way, shape, and form. But yeah, I was just saying this to my friend the other day. I was like, she thinks a little too small. She's like law of attraction light. She's working on it. And I was like, I'm going to be the next Shonda Rhimes. I'm going to have my own Shonda Land, but it's going to be called King's Landing. It's, you know, and she goes, oh, can you build me a studio in your basement? And I was like, I'm going to need you to think a little bigger if we're going on this trip, homie. Like, it's go big or go home, okay? You can't just do, I was like, I'll meet you halfway. You can have the pool house. How about that? She's like, you're going to have a pool house? You're damn right I am.
So your approach is simply don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't sweat it. It'll come. If that's what you want, it'll come. But don't be like, you know, I see the people every day. They're like, I'm doing the 55x5 and nothing's happened yet. What am I doing wrong? And I'm like, hell, like, let it go. Drop the pen. Forget about it. Go do something you enjoy. And then just, you know, it'll happen when it happens.
Mm-hmm. Is that what your experience has been, Joel?
Well, yeah, and just like you're saying, that's the back and forth when I've talked about this before. I've manifested a treatment center before, an entire multi-million-dollar treatment center. I didn't do it the way I exactly intended. I didn't understand exactly what I was, but I brought it about. I was able to live it. I was able to, I have an abundance. I live in an abundance. Mm-hmm. But it's I have to live in with that abundance. It's not settling, as you're saying.
Right.
It's not settling for this. It is understanding that, you know, we are where we need to be. We can have whatever we want. Mm-hmm. And that is most effectively accomplished when you're not running around wanting everything, which puts off a feeling of lack. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and again, it's you know, when I hear people say, well, I'm just settling. I don't want to just settle for this. No, it's the opposite of that. It's about understanding you have no limits or thinking too small.
Yes.
The brief synopsis when I was in South Carolina and I was running a treatment center for people with a gambling addiction. Mm-hmm. I had always wanted to have an incredibly huge facility where I could use a lot of the holistic principles, a lot of the law of attraction stuff, sort of a Buddhist kind of base of thinking. And you know, I had a lot of that going on, but inherently the gambling addiction by nature takes everyone's money away. So, you know, you can never have people, you can never afford it. So I accepted, I had a vision of what I wanted, but I didn't have the money to do it. I didn't have the way to raise the money to do it, but I knew what I wanted. Mm-hmm. So randomly I had a person call me who was early in recovery from a gambling addiction. His wife was a tobacco heiress. He had 400 acres and a mansion on it. And he wanted to start a treatment center that literally was the treatment center I had envisioned. And he asked me to be the director of the facility. Now, I manifested that facility. Now, it wasn't mine. And I manifested it, but I was director. I wanted to run a facility. That was how I was thinking, versus a bigger thing. Now, I ended up realizing I didn't want that piece of property, but I understand the concepts of the treatment facility. So there is nothing too big. I get job offers all the time from companies to run their treatment facilities. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm not manifesting that. It's just I could have that if I wanted it, and they come along all the time.
Which is pretty funny when you think about it, because you're not really looking for it, and here they are showing up.
Yeah, when I was desperate years ago for any kind of job, I couldn't get anybody to hire me. Mm-hmm. Now, a month goes by that I don't turn down an offer almost.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy, too.
Yeah. I'm going to ask a question about, you know, asking for a friend. Where does karma play in all of this? Because a friend of mine was saying, why does all the good things happen to this bad person and I keep getting shitted on when I'm a great person? Like, when is it, where is the karma? When is it coming?
Okay, well, that's not an easy question.
we'll spend the next hour on that one.
So karma, when you look at karma is, you know, the concept, first of all, a lot of times we're thinking about the current life we're living, the current, you know, I'm just a little side note, I'm going to get a little weird, so just given the sort of Joel getting weird.
Oh, we're already weird. We're talking about karma, so believe me, we're in weirdness. Yeah. It's okay.
We
need a buzzer so people can tune out. My other Baptist friends really want
to. Trigger warnings.
They want to turn this out. Yeah. Fundamentalist Baptist, please turn off your radios right now. But in my world, and I speak for me, on the possibility and my personal belief that this is not the only life I've lived. There's multiple lives I've lived, and I chose the life that I'm living now. Mm-hmm. And I think karma is more of a life-to-life thing than an internal, we somehow have switched this to it's this life right now. Mm-hmm. If you look at it, I've lived an infinite number of lives. It could be 20,000 lives of, you know, I mean, it could be multi. I mean, you can get really all over the place in that thinking. So I don't want to get way out there, but I think karma is more than today, more than immediate. There is a feeling of paybacks like right now, but I think it's more of a spectrum of things. If you might have a life where you appear to get away with everything and everything, you know, terrible people get great things that happen or become president of the United States or stuff like that. That can happen. But
nobody
in that
we
next
know,
lifetime, I'm not, that wasn't political or anything, but the next lifetime, that person may, you know, live in poverty or be in prison or be, I mean, there's multiple choices that go on, and I believe we choose that. So I think the karma is almost like a you know, you sort of respond to it versus the idea that it's about today. When I say today, it's not maybe even about this lifetime. Karma can extend multiple lifetimes. So that's my view. So I take sort of karma out of the law of attraction concept for me and look at it more of a when I say lifetime, I mean a spiritual lifetime, which may be, you know, an endless amount of years going backwards and forwards in time.
Yep.
So you can now flash the sign again and return to our normal programming. We've left the twilight zone.
I'll add to that for myself, the word karma and the concept of karma was something that never really helped me a whole lot. So I kind of just abandoned it. And you mentioned lifetimes. We'll stay within the twilight zone for a moment here. I have been told by a psychic who gave my wife and I a reading within the past year. I think she said that I had 1,379 lifetimes and my wife had like 2,546, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then we had like 80% of them together. And I said, okay, well, that's nice. But I'm thinking to myself, how do I use that information? And the answer that I came up with was, I can't. I have no way to use that information. It's an interesting thing. It's like, oh, well, that's kind of curious. But there was nothing to do with it. And that's the way I feel about karma. It's not like karma is telling me something that I can use right now. To me, it's more like a crazy-making thing.
Yeah, so,
and to support that, and one thing to support that before I lose this, not to interrupt, it is exactly what you're saying. However, where it does help you is when this current lifetime ends, I think the karma you have to deal with in your choice of your next life, that's where it's relevant. I really don't.
Probably.
I don't know I don't know the detail, but I do agree, again, my opinion, the karma of today, it doesn't give you enough information. You don't know. Part of the overall belief that I have is we're born with a point. We have a mission. We have things to overcome. We choose that mission before we get here. And we don't always succeed. It might take us 50 attempts to get this done. We don't. Part of Abraham Hicks, one of the statements she made, I don't know why this resonates so much to me. But when somebody asked her, you know, okay, when you're on the other side, you're all knowing, you're all power, you're all energy, You have no pain. You have no, and you have access to everything, all the knowledge. Why would you want to come back? And her response was so succinct, and it described everything. She said, tell me what chocolate tastes like.
Yes.
Mm. And when you understand we're here because of what chocolate tastes like, metaphorically, you're mm-hmm. here to experience. You're here. There is, that's the thing. When you see all this going on, it seems like, oh my God, this is overwhelming. We are a train wreck. Things are falling apart.
We are a train wreck.
or look at it all and go, it is it's sort of like the ultimate theater, since we should be on that theme today. It's mm-hmm. the ultimate theater of reality. And it's mm. playing out, and you chose these roles. We chose what's here, and we deal with it. And then when we die, I have this imagined, thing where, as I've talked about before, I lost my son TJ in a car accident when he was 23. Mm-hmm. And, one of the things that I don't know why, I don't understand, but I think the moment that I can stop taking a breath here and my spirit goes, I will rejoin him in energy, and we'll have another adventure together. I don't know why all that happened, but it is, I do believe all that happened and we've probably done that 100 times or 1,000 times or in some form or fashion. Next time it might be my time to do that, or whatever, but I don't understand it. I just know that it's bigger than me or bigger than my understanding, and that matters.
Yes. It does matter, and it can be confusing. I mean, certainly when we go through that kind of heartache where we lose somebody really close to us, really important to us, especially at a young age, I mean, that'll just flip you for a big loss, mm-hmm. and that's when it's important to get that perspective. But it's a tough perspective. Sometimes it's just difficult to deal with this stuff, and I think that's really the root of what we've been talking about. We kind of started the show talking about how people will say, well, the law of attraction thing isn't working for me. And it actually is. It's just that we're attracting stuff that we didn't really have in mind to attract, or we thought we didn't have in mind to attract. Or perhaps we're getting a result that was different from what we hoped for when we attracted what we at the time thought we wanted to attract. It's like you were talking about, Joel, about how, well, I want to have a Lamborghini. Until you have the Lamborghini, you say, well, what am I going to do with this thing? Not really well. So I want to go to a question now with that thought in mind. I want to go to a question that you kind of touched on, Joel. You said, well, that's not wealth. That's not wealth. What's wealth? I mean, if wealth isn't all these things that we desire, okay, well, it's good to know what we don't know, or what we don't want, rather, because that helps us say, okay, I don't want that. But we also have to take the next step and say, well, what do I want? So what is wealth?
Well, you answer your own question. First of all, you have to figure out what do you really want? The concept of what would define wealth to me would maybe be different than another. But when you look toward, I don't want to have to worry about certain things, or I don't want to, that in itself is a worry. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to worry about paying my bills. Well, you're worrying about paying your bills.
So yep.
You see that wealth to me is when you can live. Are you worried right now in the surrounding that you're at? Are you worried that you're not having to think about your next breath? Are you worried about there being a lack of oxygen in the air for you to breathe right now?
Yeah, I'm not. Okay. Thank goodness. So otherwise, I'd be in trouble.
Yeah. Now, don't start thinking about that.
That's right.
You're thinking about your breathing and all that.
Dude, I've been.
So, I was about to say, with the anxiety, the panic disorder, all that.
That's what it feels like.
Don't think about that. Exactly. Yeah. but for metaphorically, for what we're talking about, there's abundance of oxygen. That is not there. It's like clean water. We worry about, what's the most valuable substance on the planet? I mean, when we look at, is it platinum? Is it some kind of uranium? It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Whatever we value, if you look at a diamond, you go, that's really valuable because we place value on it, or a gram of gold or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, the honest truth is, without air and water, we die. So they're mm-hmm. the two most valuable elements of all time, mm-hmm. and they will continue to be. And so, but we don't lack that. So you don't put it, you don't seem to have the value attached to it. So wealth is sort of almost like, how do I get to a place where I don't have to, worry about worrying and get there. So understanding for an individual what, you know, I don't have a need right now. I can't think of anything that I need. I have everything that I want. I can get anything that I need as it comes along. I don't worry about the electric bill is going to come along. It's going to be too much. I have friends, and I've been in a place where that electric bill was more than it was. And oh my God, that would be dangerous. I wouldn't be able to pay my electric bill.
Sure.
Fortunately, I'm in a place right now where I don't have that, but I've had days where I had to call the electric company and actually get additional days until I got paid. That's stressful. Mm-hmm. Those are tough things. So I'm not minimalizing the effects of all that. I'm not saying, and that's why we put energy, because it's uncomfortable to be without electricity, especially if you have children and you can't provide for your kids. So I'm not suggesting any of this is easy. I'm just suggesting, again, the law of attraction doesn't care that it's not easy. It doesn't care. That you know, the law of attraction, you mean you're blaming the victim? I hear that a lot, the law of attraction. The law of attraction doesn't care. It doesn't blame. It's irrelevant. It doesn't run around blaming. That you're putting a personality on. You can't put a personality on gravity. There's no personality on the law of attraction. It's not good or bad. It's just a tool of the universe. And understanding that is where we knock it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was going to try to take what you just said and maybe condense it down into like a single phrase, I think I'd say the definition of wealth that we're really driving at is that place, that emotional thinking place that we're in, where we let go of worry, we let go of lack, we let go of all these things that don't feel good to us and that lead us astray, so that we just start feeling comfortable in our own skin, start feeling comfortable mm-hmm. with where we are in life. That is wealth.
Yeah. Well, and when you can live, this is where I get into like the power of now concepts, and the most effective tool in developing wealth or well-being or wherever you want is right now, this moment,
mm-hmm.
exact moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter what's going to be happening later today, or no matter what has happened to this point, at this moment, at 8:56 a.m. Eastern Time on the 27th of January 2019, everything's fine. At this exact moment, at this point in time, is everything is where it needs to be. I have everything that I need. I don't lack it. And if I could live like that each moment, then imagine how great that feels. But when you step out of this moment and I start saying, okay, I have a horrible day today. I have all these sessions. I have, there's certain things that I do. A lot of times I have these very difficult family sessions where everybody's spending a lot of energy and time yelling at each other. And, and, you know, okay, remember in 1987 when you said this and all this stupid stuff, and, you know, if you didn't do this when I was a child, I wouldn't have these problems. I mean, so you have all that going on. I don't like those sessions. I mean, because you almost have to get through that, like, yeah, okay, let's spend an hour, everybody yelling at each other, and then I'll say, okay, none of that matters, let's move on, but we still got to go through it. So, however, if I spend all of my day saying, God, I'm during that session's going to be, I mean, I got to live in right now. And I had a session, and this is how it worked the other day. I had a session scheduled with this family I did not want to have. It is a very complicated story, and I don't need to lay the groundwork, but it was something that I was dreading. It was going to be, I'd scheduled it for 2 hours. I had a very busy day that day. And these are a family that I was probably in that session going to tell them that they need to move to another therapist as well. That that what they need is not what I offer. So I'm really mentally preparing that script. And I was trying to do the transition time, and I found myself having anxiety over that. I really did. I'm like, you know, okay. And I was like, I can't do that. So I had 3 or 4 sessions before them. They all went great. And I found myself the session before that going, okay, boy, when I finish this session, they're going to be here and it's not going to be comfortable. Well, I got a text from the mom of this family and said, well, our son refuses to come. And I said, well, he's sort of the point of what we want to do. And that opened the door for me to say, okay, look, I said, I think this is sort of the final straw. What I'm offering is more life coaching. You need more of a therapeutic, traditional therapist mm-hmm. in role in your life. So without me having to do anything, it transitioned away from what I needed to do. I spent energy worrying about it. And she said, I'm so grateful for you and all you've done. And when we're on the other side, I said, I would love to get involved again, but it's really appropriate for me to refer this out right now. First of all, she thought I was very respectful. She said, well, I'll pay you for your time. And I go, absolutely not. We're not doing that. I'm very pleased that we were able to. Well, and things are going really well, you know, now that they've transitioned. So but I was worried about something that had nothing coming about. It's a catch 22 that we get involved in. And it's all part of how the law of attraction can respond. And I'm worried that if that session would have gone off and I was, it had been not because it was bad, but my intention, it couldn't have had a good outcome because I was so negative in my thought about that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It reminds me of something that we've done often with Louise's gardening business. It used to be we would take any customer that came along, and sometimes there are certain customers that would drive us nuts, and there were reasons why that was happening. And we finally got to the point where we said, you know what? We know there are certain characteristics of customers that just aren't a good fit for us. Mm-hmm. What if we identify them right off the bat before we even do any work for them? Just through some simple question and answer, we realize, okay, that's that kind of customer. And we have this former employee who's trying to get her own business going. We recognize this is a customer who's either too small for us or too much of a pain or whatever. But this former employee is so meticulous. She loves dealing with that. Let's just refer all those customers over to her. And the moment we started doing that is the moment that the whole thing got easier.
Mm-hmm.
We were giving away business, and in doing so, our business actually increased.
Well, it helps a lot. I know that there's other life coaches here in Richmond, and I have a young lady with an eating disorder that's a little out of my scope of practice, and it sounds sexist, but I think she's better off with a female therapist that has some experience in that area, or a female life coach. So I referred without any type of, so the other life coach calls, well, you didn't want this? She said, I thought you would take that. And I go, no. I said, I'm in fact, all of those I'll send your way. And she's like, oh, she's, well, I always thought because you were, you were who you were that we got all the leftovers. And I go, no, I don't want to look at it that way. So we have developed a very good referral network back and forth. And, there are weeks that I just can't see everybody. And I really trust her. She's very much into a similar mind thought of where we're at. So this, both of our practices have, if I go on vacation, she covers for me I used to always have to cover my own self. Like somebody had an emergency, I'd still take the call on vacation. And we take turns doing that. So I've actually have a colleague that developed from this. So I'm even more effective in my practice because of that. So it's just like you're saying that when you learn to, instead of that, in the beginning, you take whatever comes along. You just need money. Get them in the door.
Right.
But as time goes on, there's more effective ways to do it. And law of attraction fits right into that concept as well.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. Well, once again, we managed to start off with absolutely no topic and turn it into a really good topic. It's amazing how often we do that. We're getting very, very good at it. I'm glad of that. But Joel, it's been great to have you back. And before we part company, I want to give you the opportunity to tell people how to reach Joel Elston, the life coach.
Joel Elston at gmail.com is probably the simplest way to do it. My website is joelelston.com. It's always good to hear. If I can't handle your case or you're far away, I can maybe refer. But always appreciate hearing from our listeners. Often get good feedback. I love that.
And also a reminder, if you're not yet a subscriber, this is what you get. I mean, and it's not just this. Every single show is a completely different show. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. They are all completely different.
Literally,
yes. And you don't want to miss any of them because every one of them is going to be entertaining and it's going to help you lift up. It's your daily dose of happy. That's why we call it that. So become a subscriber. Really easy to do. Go to the homepage of our website, loatoday.net. It'll walk you right through it, and then you're a subscriber. And from that point on, of course, you want to share the fact that you're subscribing and you're getting good stuff. stuff out of it so that other people can get their daily doses of happy. And then also, Alex, how do they do the same thing on YouTube? Because sometimes it's fun to look at us while we're doing this.
It is fun to look at us in our gorgeous faces, minus Joel. So
we will hide his face, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant. What you want to do is go to YouTube and search for LOA Today podcast videos. And once you've done that, hit the subscribe button. And then next to the subscribe button, there's a little bell that'll notify you every time we go live. And once you've watched a couple of videos, you know, hit that thumbs up and let us know that we liked it.
Oh, we love that a whole lot. So thank you, guys. Thank you to our podcast listeners as well. We will see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.